Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. We are on to day two of free agency and the legal tampering period. I already have my day two column up over at the Score. It's got all my takeaways, projections, everything you need to know about the most important moves of the day. And we're going to talk about those on today's show. I am taking a chance here, though, because we're recording just after 6 p.m. Eastern. So hopefully no more big moves happen tonight. If they do, I will add them to the column and we will talk about them on a show either tomorrow or later in the week. But today, we're also going to go over the top players still available at the end of the day here, even though it's going to get a little thin at this point, right? We've had a lot of moves over the first couple days here. Still a few key names to watch out for, though. And if you haven't already, you can go back. You can give a listen to Monday's show. I went over that first crazy wave of signings. Some really big changes to the fantasy landscape coming out of those moves. And that continued into Tuesday morning, into Tuesday afternoon. So let's get you caught up here. And we can start with more running back news, which seems crazy. Normally in past years, the running backs took forever to sign. This year, it's all running back signings over the first 2 days. And today we had a few really, really big ones, starting with the Ravens signing Derrick Henry. 2 years, $16 million. And this was kind of obvious based on the reports that we've been hearing over the last week or so. It was clear that both sides wanted to get this done. They were just sort of trying to figure out what the money was going to be. Eventually, they settled on that 2 year, $16 million deal. And the Ravens now are filling this massive hole in the backfield with J.K. Dobbins being gone. But not just that, but the injuries that he's dealt with over the last couple of years. Gus Edwards moving on. He's on the Chargers now. So they get to slot Derrick Henry in there. Just one of those dominant runners that we've seen out of any backfield in the last few years. And he is 30 years old, though. But still, last year at 29, he put together a very strong campaign, had over 1,300 scrimmage yards, had 12 touchdowns. And he did that despite his age, despite, you know, the overwhelming amount of touches that he's already had in his career. And the lack of a competent offensive line in Tennessee, right? That Titans offensive line really fell apart over the last couple seasons, and Henry just continued to produce through it all. And the Ravens are kind of an ideal landing spot for him, right? Not just because they have a better set of blockers there, but they also have the league's best rushing quarterback in Lamar Jackson. And that combination of Jackson's elusiveness and just Henry's brute force and that breakaway speed, he can create those huge plays. It's going to be a nightmare for opposing defenses in 2024. So as long as the wheels don't come off based on his age and all the mileage there and being on the wrong side of 30, Henry is poised to be a top 15 fantasy back once again, perhaps even an RB1 for fantasy this year. And I have him at a 16 game projection of 254 carries, 1,067 rushing yards, 11 TDs, 23 receptions, and 175 receiving yards. Now the next one, another veteran, another guy getting up there. He's close to 30. He'll turn 30 later this year. And that's Aaron Jones. Did not take him long to find a new home. And he stayed in the NFC North. He went to the Vikings. And adding himself to the Vikings roster, it might not improve his chances of reaching the Super Bowl, but he's going to get to face Green Bay twice a year moving forward, right? So there is a lot of revenge plots in that one that he is going to get to go against the Packers and show them what they're missing now. And it's just a 1 year, $7 million deal. And I saw some people showing some concern about that. That's what Dalvin Cook signed for last year. So some worries that the Packers in the past, when they've let some of these veteran guys go after they've left Green Bay, it's been the right decision for the Packers. They haven't really done much after that in their careers. Hopefully that's not the case with Jones. He's somebody that I like a lot, and he just wasn't willing to take a pay cut to stick around in Green Bay. But I hope he can keep things going with the Vikings. The only question now is, because of his age and turning 30 in December, like I said, how much does he have left in the tank? And aside from the games that he missed due to injury last year, he continued to be really effective as a runner and a pass catcher last season, and he finished the year incredibly hot. He topped 100 rushing yards in 5 straight contests. Now, that's the last 3 regular season games and the Packers 2 playoff games, but he's going to immediately step into a similar lead back role in Minnesota, and he'll be spelled at times by Ty Chandler. This is unfortunate for Chandler. There was a possibility that maybe he could be the lead back this season like we saw from him at the end of last year, but no, He is going to be the number two guy. He's going to be that change of pace there. But we've seen some of these running backs in Minnesota, whether it was Chandler, whether it was Dalvin Cook before him, these guys that had a lot of fantasy success in that Vikings backfield. You just have to factor in now that Kirk Cousins is gone. So that's going to increase the degree of difficulty for that entire offense. Maybe not as many scoring opportunities, maybe not as many long drives, all that stuff factors in. And the team is probably going to draft a rookie quarterback. I think that's almost etched in stone at this point. They did sign Sam Darnold today, but until we know who's going to be under center, I'm approaching Jones a little more cautiously than I did in the past. He's kind of a fringe RB2, high-end RB3 for fantasy in my mind. Meanwhile, Chandler, the path to significant touches, it's gone. So he's going to be a high-end backup. He's going to be somebody that you want to target in drafts and have on your bench in case Jones gets injured. And at his age and some of the injuries we've seen from him in the past, especially when you're talking about hamstring injuries like he dealt with last year, those can be things that become harder to get over when you get to an advanced age for running back. So all of that is stuff you got to keep in mind. But Jones right now, I have him at a 15-game projection just due to the injury concerns. I'm at 193 carries, 894 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 47 receptions, 342 receiving yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. And that's because I think Chandler will be involved. And I'm a little bit worried that Jones isn't going to be able to stay healthy for a full season. But like I said, I would love to see it. He is one of my favorite players in the NFL. Now, one we have to update you on here. Yesterday, we talked about the fact that the Bengals signed Zach Moss and then immediately released Joe Mixon. Well, all of the stuff that we're going off of right now, it's just reports, right? During the legal tampering period, we don't know that these things are official yet. There's always the chance that it could change. We saw it way back in the day. I don't think it's happened in a couple of years, but where it gets reported that a player signs with a team and then all of a sudden he ends up signing with a different team before the league officially changes over into the new year. And we saw something similar happen over the last 24 hours where it was reported that Joe Mixon was released, but actually the Bengals were able to swing a deal. I think they got a 7th round pick in return from the Texans to send Joe Mixon to Houston. And now he's going to an offense where, you know, a few hours ago we were thinking that, you know, Joe Mixon, his value, the age he's at, is he going to be able to find a landing spot where he can actually produce for fantasy the way he has in recent seasons? Well, guess what? Being traded to Houston is a fantastic outcome for him. He's going to be the number one back in that very promising offense led by CJ Stroud. And the Texans showed a real willingness to feed their top runner last season, right? And when they settled on Devin Singletary, I talked about this a bit on Monday's show. When Singletary was the starter in the second half of the year, he posted solid RB2 fantasy stats, and a big part of that was the volume he was getting. So last year, you look at what Mixon did, even with Joe Burrow sidelined for a big chunk of 2023, Mixon still finished as a top 12 back in fantasy points per game. So I'm very excited to see what he can do with the majority of the snaps, with the majority of the touches in that Houston backfield. It makes him a surprisingly enticing fantasy asset, despite the fact that he is going to be 28 when the season kicks off. And I'm valuing him right now as a high-end RB2, but somebody that has that low-end RB1 upside in fantasy. And a big reason for it is Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, sticking around in Houston. He is going to find ways for Mixon to have success in that offense, and I can't wait to see it. So my projection for Mixon right now, 16 games, 243 carries, 1,021 rushing yards, 7 rushing touchdowns with 42 receptions, 301 receiving yards, and a receiving TD. Now we will move away from running backs for a second here. The Falcons signed a receiver, and we always talk about, you know, the big three there with Drake London and with Kyle Pitts and with Bijan Robinson. And I thought maybe this year there was a chance that they'd go to the draft and try to find somebody else, another playmaker, maybe a second receiver to get out there. Well, they found that guy in free agency. They signed Darnell Mooney today to 3 years, $39 million. They're retooling that offense. They found their quarterback in Kirk Cousins on Monday. They found a solid second receiver in Mooney today. And there seemed to be a pretty decent market for Mooney's services, but ultimately he signs a deal pretty much equivalent to what Gabe Davis got from the Jags. And in Atlanta, Mooney's going to join this other group. There is going to be a ton of target competition. It is going to be hard for him to really break out for fantasy unless there's an injury to one of these other guys, particularly to Drake London, to kind of allow Mooney to step up and be the number one receiver for a stretch. And we know just a few years ago, he had a 1,000-yard campaign. Like, he can produce in the NFL. He's got some skill there. And even despite all the target competition, he's going to be an excellent addition for this offense in real life as a speedster, a field stretcher, somebody that can draw the defense away from some of these other guys and let them work in the short to intermediate area over the middle of the field, that sort of thing. But because of all these other players that are going to have so much involvement in the offense, it makes Mooney more of a boom or bust wide receiver for fantasy. But new offensive coordinator Zach Robinson is going to bring a more pass-heavy attack to Atlanta. And I think we should expect that all four of these guys that we're mentioning here, and London and Robinson and Pitts and now Mooney, they're all going to have moments to shine in this attack. So get ready for the Falcons to get a ton of hype over the next few months. And I think people are going to be very excited about this offense, which is going to lead to probably some of their ADPs soaring maybe a little bit higher than you want to have to pay to get them, but that's fine. This is an offense that we're going to want to be involved with. Solid offensive line. They got the quarterback now, and they have the weapons around him. So Mooney for me, 17-game projection on him, 57 receptions, 714 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns, but likely not somebody that you're going to feel great about having in your fantasy lineup unless there is an injury in that offense or unless Kyle Pitts really can't come through for us. If Kyle Pitts isn't the guy that I think he can be, then all of a sudden maybe Mooney could get some more work and could step up. Now that's it for the big moves today. We'll look at a couple of the minor moves before we get out of here. The Bengals signing Mike Gesicki, finding a starting tight end, and the problem with this one, on paper, you look at it and you go, Gesicki going from that situation in New England where they had struggles at quarterback, where he wasn't even the top tight end on the team. That was Hunter Henry. He was sort of playing second fiddle to him. Now he goes to what seems to be an excellent opportunity, playing with a great quarterback in Joe Burrow, getting to be that starting tight end in the Bengals offense. The only problem is when you think back to some of these Bengals tight ends over the last few seasons, nobody's really done much for fantasy. CJ Uzoma, Hayden Hurst, Irv Smith Jr., Tanner Hudson. Sure, they've had some games where they've popped up, but overall, it's been very difficult for them to produce consistently. And that's because you have Jamar Chase there. You have T. Higgins there. You had Tyler Boyd there. We don't know if he's going to come back in free agency or end up somewhere else. But right now, they still have Chase and they still have Higgins. And whether they're going to grant Higgins' trade request, we don't know. That could certainly change things for Gesicki. Maybe if that happens, then all of a sudden he could find himself into a path where he could get into that low-end fantasy tight end one conversation. But at the moment, I'm going to look at what we've seen from these tight ends in the past in that Bengals offense, and I'm going to value him as more of a tight end two streamer, albeit one with some upside. We know what a great pass catcher he can be. He just needs opportunity. He needs volume. And if you remember back to his days in Miami, he wasn't somebody that was really drawing the targets when everybody was healthy. It took injuries even in that receiving core when it was Devontae Parker and whoever else they had for the Dolphins back then. It took one or two of those guys to get hurt before Gesicki really would have a string of good games. So just keep that in mind. I love the offense. I love the setting for him, but fantasy-wise, I don't know that he's going to be somebody that you want to chase. Now, we mentioned Sam Darnold earlier. Not really a ton to talk about here. I think he's just going to be more of a placeholder. They were probably worried after losing Kirk Cousins, the Vikings, you know, not having anybody on the roster that they felt comfortable with as a potential starter in week one. Now they have Darnold. That worst case scenario, they could at least put him out there, and he is a professional quarterback. He's not a great quarterback, but he's at least somebody they could put out there and could run the offense. I still think they are going to draft somebody early in the first round, whether they move up or not. So we'll see what happens there. A lot of pressure, though, on them to get this sorted out because Justin Jefferson, he needs a quarterback, and his fantasy stock could take a hit if it ends up being Darnold under center, but I don't think it will be. I think we're going to see a rookie end up there after the draft. Now, the Browns, they signed Jameis Winston, and we got a couple backup quarterbacks to talk about here, but Jameis, just think about his path, right? He goes from being that volatile fantasy starter with the Buccaneers at the beginning of his career. Then he goes to the Saints. He kind of ends up being like content as just the backup for the Saints. You know, it was kind of known more for like the funny quotes and the silly things he was doing off the field rather than what he was actually accomplishing on it. But he had a couple games where he was able to step up and did some things for fantasy. He was a spot starter at times. I know I had him in a few lineups where I was struggling with quarterback situations in 2QB or super flex leagues. And when he got those starts, I definitely used him once or twice. But him signing in Cleveland, I think this breathes a little bit of hope into his fantasy outlook, because we've seen it the last couple seasons. Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco, these backups in Cleveland, when Deshaun Watson misses time and they get an opportunity, that offense can allow a quarterback to step in and produce. And they've added even more weapons this year with somebody like Jerry Jeudy coming over in a trade on the weekend. So that Browns offense can be a productive place for these spot starter quarterbacks. And if Deshaun Watson, if he struggles, if he misses time again, Winston has the pieces around him that he could get back on the fantasy map. And it's one that we're just sort of preparing you for. I don't think that he's going to win any sort of camp competition or anything like that. But if Watson were to miss time, Winston could step in and he would be a guy that would be talking about in the waiver wire column during the season. Another backup QB here, the Giants signing Drew Locke, and they had to find somebody, right? They lost Tyrod Taylor to the Jets in free agency. And you think about Daniel Jones' struggles and the injuries that he's had. They need a capable backup there. And Drew Locke, he performed pretty well in those two starts he had for the Seahawks last year. And like most number two quarterback signings, though, the Giants are definitely going to hope that they don't have to use him at all this season. But I think a nice real life signing there for them. The Commanders also signing someone in Marcus Mariota. Now, I don't know that he's going to be the backup or the third string. It's not really a noteworthy thing for fantasy, but I just put it in the column because it makes you wonder how they feel about Sam Howell, what they're going to do with Sam Howell. Is Mariota just a veteran presence in that quarterback room that is probably about to have Sam Howell, who is a young QB and also a first round rookie that they'll take second overall or wherever they end up selecting if they trade around a bit? Or are the Commanders looking to move on from Howell and maybe they'll have a fresh start this season with a rookie and then with Mariota backing him up directly? So it's a situation that I just want to monitor. That's why I'm bringing it up here. It really isn't going to impact that much for fantasy. Marcus Mariota hasn't really done well in his last couple of NFL starts. Now, a couple other small moves at the skill positions. The Eagles signing wide receiver Devontae Parker. Again, not really moving the needle much. They need a third wideout in that offense. Quez Watkins off to free agency. They don't really have a guy there. So maybe Parker fills that role. Or maybe he's just a nice backup to have on the roster when you have these big-bodied wideouts on the outside. You have A.J. Brown, you have Devonta Smith. If one of those guys gets hurt, Parker a little more competent than some of the other names they've had there in recent seasons, and a guy that could step in to one of those roles if there were an injury. And then the Bears signing Gerald Everett, and this is really unfortunate. Everett, another one of these tight ends that if he landed in the right spot, you could have seen his fantasy value jump up a bit, but he goes to the Bears where they like Cole Kmet a ton. Cole Kmet has a bigger contract than they gave Gerald Everett in free agency this year. So this hurts Cole Kmet for sure, but I don't think it really does much for Gerald Everett. I don't see a scenario where Everett's going to beat out Kmet. So he has kind of fallen off the fantasy map barring any sort of injury. Now, we did this yesterday. One last thing before we leave. I want to do the best of the rest of the skill position. So we will start at quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is still out there. He's a guy that we've seen get starts in recent years. He's 35 years old. It seems like a lot of the starting spots that were out there are kind of drying up now. So whether Tannehill actually finds somewhere where he's going to be able to get some starts this year, I doubt. But a guy who could step in and be another one of these quality number two QBs, a quality backup for someone. Jimmy Garoppolo, I have him in the free agent index already. He won't be officially released until tomorrow when the league year flips over. But Jimmy G, according to reports, he is getting some interest. So he'll end up somewhere. But again, these guys that I'm mentioning, I don't think they're going to find starting roles. I think we're just looking at them as backups. Joe Flacco, another one after the stint that he had with the Browns this year. I'm almost surprised that he hasn't signed somewhere already. A Carson Wentz, He looked okay in a very, very limited run with the Rams that he got. So let's see if he can get a chance somewhere else or whether he sits out there unsigned like he did last year. And then we get into the Josh Dobbs and the Tyler Huntleys of the world. So let's move on to running backs. And all the names at the top now are signed. The first guy that I have that isn't is Ezekiel Elliott. And I did mention yesterday, he was someone that I thought looked decent for the Patriots this year. I think that he can still produce, maybe not as the guy, but as part of a committee. So let's see where Zeke ends up. A.J. Dillon, J.K. Dobbins, Alexander Mattison, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Deonta Foreman. I mean, those are names that at times, maybe for short stints, they can put up some decent stats, but not guys that are looking to get starting roles anywhere. We're just looking at depth pieces now for teams that are signing those guys. At wide receiver, Calvin Ridley kind of remains the biggest name that's left in free agency, and we don't know the situation right now where he's going to end up, other than the fact that the Patriots are clearly interested. Whether he wants to go there or not, we're not sure. It seems like maybe they're just playing the game and trying to negotiate to get him more money or a better deal. The other factor with this is that the Jags, if they sign him before the league year flips over, they have to give up a second round pick to the Falcons based on the way the language that was in that trade that they made. But if they wait until after the league year flips, if he's not on the roster when that happens, then it turns into a third round pick. So maybe we'll see him sign after 4 p.m. on Wednesday and he will end up back with the Jags. I don't think that's going to be the case, though. I think he's using that situation to try to leverage it and get more money from the Patriots. So right now, I would expect that he will sign with the Patriots, but anything could happen over the next 24 hours or so. We also have Marquise Brown, Curtis Samuel, Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas, DJ Chark, a lot of the names that I went over yesterday, Tyler Boyd, who we mentioned earlier, KJ Osborne, and that's where we're at. I mean, I don't think when we go a little bit further down the receiver list here, there's not really anyone that's going to get you too excited for fantasy or for any GMs out there in the NFL that are looking for real help on their squads. And then at tight end, again, a lot of the names at the top have already signed. Logan Thomas is still out there at 32 years old. Can he still get it done and be a starter for someone or at least a serious contributor? Tanner Hudson had some moments for the Bengals last year, but not a guy that you think is going to sign and step into a significant role. And then Hayden Hurst, we talked about yesterday, whether his career will continue or not. We hope it does, but I'm not so sure that will be the case. And after that, you're looking at Austin Hooper, who used to be a starter, but hasn't really made an impact in a few seasons. Harrison Bryant, someone who, you know, played for the Browns for a few years. I think he could do a little more than he got the opportunity to do in Cleveland, but again, not going to be a starter in the league anywhere. So that is all for today's show. Just like to give you that rundown of the players that are still out there so you get an idea of what's left. And my concern now is I'm not sure if we're going to have enough big signings to continue to do these daily shows to do another one on Wednesday, but make sure you check out my analysis and my projections columns from day one and day two. Those are separate articles, both of them available over at The Score. So is that free agent index that I mentioned. That's like a cheat sheet to just show you where everyone signed and who's still out there. It's just one you can look at quickly to get caught up. And I expect that we will do another episode at some point during the rest of the week covering the next wave of moves, but just depends how many signings we get moving forward. So until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me.